Let's look at Psalms 33, and I'm going to read through. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely, it's proper, it's in order for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, and sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Please do not forget that in the midst of so many things coming down. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them. By the breath of his mouth he gathereth the waters of the sea together as a harp. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. God may seem like he moves slow, but when he moves, does he move? The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. The final verse from Psalms 33 is verse 22. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. God spoke to my heart. I mean, it was just a word from God to me that in the midst of all of this tragedy and all that has been coming down, and probably not by accident that it was on 9/11, God said, instruct the people, don't stop rejoicing in me. Don't stop praising my name. Be thankful. Do not cease to give praise and thanksgiving unto God. Folks, we must remember this. There is much to be thankful for today. Yes, we need justice without hate. And we're praying for swift justice. Please pray for that. This is not a light moment. This is a very serious moment in our nation. And to ignore what has happened will bring far worse than that to our land. We need justice, but we need justice that is accurate, and we need justice without hate. And somehow I'm believing that God will not let this nation be dragged through an extended time of legal procedures and all the things that go with that. God, however you want to settle this thing, settle it, and settle it quickly would be the cry of my heart. The news media said America under attack. And so when they asked me what I would like to put in the newspaper, I said, just put that very thing there. America under attack. America's wake-up call. We've had an expensive wake-up call this week. We don't know where the bottom of the loss is between insurance and buildings and who can replace lives and all that is there. It's a terrible thing. 2,400 killed in Pearl Harbor. Over 5,000, and yet how many thousands are not accounted for as yet? But the word of God said, rejoice in the Lord. This seems like a paradox, but it's not. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely, it's proper, it's in order, it's in divine order for the upright. We're to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord with harps. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Yes, we weep, and yes, we mourn, and yes, we pray, and yes, our hearts are sobered, but we will not stop praising God in the midst of tragedy. By the grace of God, we will not stop praising him. As we go further into this, not only does God, number one, want us to remember to rejoice and to praise and be thankful unto the Lord, to sing unto him a new song. But remember, the power of the word of God is right. The problem that has happened in our nation is not an Islam problem. It's not the terrorists who give their lives to kill in the name of their God, the extremist. It's not pornography, alcohol, drugs, sex outside of marriage, and we could go on as the list goes. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem we face this week is a three-letter word spelled S-I-N. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is as clear as it can possibly be. Any preacher that has any preach in him, any teacher that has any teach in them, has been magnetically drawn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, he didn't say if the drug dealer, he didn't say if the alcoholic or the alcohol industry. By the way, one of the good things in our neighborhood, a sign that has had suggestive liquor advertised as long as I can remember. As I was driving home last evening, I looked up and it said, "In God we trust." And there's no liquor on that sign. United we stand. In God we trust. It's not all bad news, friend. No liquor advertisements. Somebody just put a clean shot up there. Thank God. In God we trust. But it goes back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Folks, this is not preaching material. We can change our world if we'll get serious about it. He said, if my people, not the mafia, not the terrorist, but if my people, which are called by my name, that means you're a born again believer. What did the word of God say for us to do? Shall humble themselves. Folks, it's not time for arrogance. With all of our good, America has a streak of arrogance also that needs to be dealt with. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. If my people, every red-blooded, born-again believer in America ought to be in their church today. Forget anything else. What else is important? What else was important when the building came down? Nothing was important. Except, did you make it or did you not make it? My people called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. There's a lot of goofy stuff about prayer, and I know there's a lot of strange ideas, and people have some very, you know, somehow I just go back to remembering my mama and those ladies who would gather to prayer. Man, they weren't all goofed up. They didn't have a bunch of strange ideas. They just knelt and did it. They prayed. They called on the name of the Lord. And when they asked God to do something, God did it. We're so sophisticated and so high tech, and I mean, I'm sorry you didn't cross. You know, you didn't cross the T and you didn't dot the I. Hey, let's get away from all of this nitpicking stuff. God said, get on your knees and pray. Open your mouth and lift your voice to God and call upon God. Jonah said, out of the belly of hell cried I. He thought he was in hell. And that fish for 3 days and 3 nights with the acids and the churning of that, I guess he did feel like he'd gone to hell. And out of the belly of hell, he said, I cried. And even a fish couldn't stand a disobedient prophet. I'm telling you. And he got rid of him. Humble ourselves. My hotel room this week, I've searched my heart and I've humbled my heart before God. It doesn't make any difference how many years I've preached or what church I pastor or whatever. It's my heart before God. It's my heart before God. And pray. And seek my face. That goes further than prayer. That means seek the face of God. Yes, I need the hand of God. You do too. But don't seek the hand of God. Seek his face. I need thee every hour. I need thee. And turn from their wicked ways. That's called sins. And we all have a few. You may not practice them every day, but before the week's over, you may have that opportunity. Folks, it's time to stand up and live every day like 9/11. Live every day like this was my last day. No one knew it was their last day. And as I looked at that, it said, revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee. Oh, as I looked at this, the foundation of America has been rocked this very week. And I believe it's time for all of God's people to read and heed 2 Chronicles 7:14. How long we're going to be on this earth, only God knows. But while we're here, I want to make a difference. I want the church that I pastor to make a difference. I don't want to just be another religious gathering. I want us to make a difference in the neighborhoods, in prayer, in missions, overseas, wherever we go. I want to make a difference. By God's grace, we have made a difference. Interesting thought. The former prime minister of Israel made this statement. He said, for years, Israel has had the will, but we didn't have the power and the go-ahead to take care of certain things. He said, for years, America has had the power, but they have not had the will. I preached to myself on that one. I said, oh God, it is within me to have the will. It is within me to have the power, because he said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The only limitation we have is our own faith. It's the only limitation we have. As a believer, we have the power. God give us the will. We believe this stuff. You believe everything I'm saying. Yes, amen, Brother Nichols. We believe that with all of our heart. And I'll see you next month. And I'll tithe if the budget allows, and I'll do this, and I'm not trying to be tacky. I'm just crying out to God. I want to be what God called a preacher to be, and I want you to be what God called a church to be, and I want us together to make an impact on our nation and not let Satan rip us off every time we turn around by fickle feelings and spirits of offense and some little nonsensical thing. God make us tough. God make us strong. God make us tender. But God make us effective. We have the power, at least we have the potential of it. Do we have the will? Do we see the need? Remember to praise God stronger than ever before, not less. Now see, the flesh would have liked to have come in here today and everything would have been sad and gloomy and everybody would have left depressed. And you know, there is a somberness. And I've cried out to God, God, give us the balance today. There is a balance. I remember when I was a little boy, when Pearl Harbor, I thought the whole world had come to an end. My daddy went to war. And they said, now you're the little man of the house. And I took that seriously. My dad was gone. Went into service. Thank God he came back. But folks, this is the greatest tragedy outside of that that has ever happened to our nation. And then we knew who the enemy was. We knew who to go after. It took us a little while to mobilize and to get the war machine together. But we knew who the enemy was. And you know, I'm reminded of this so often. You better thank God every day. But for the grace of God, every one of us could be speaking Japanese or German. We could have lost that war. There were strategic times when America, as strong as she was, could have lost the war. But people were praying. People were coming to churches. I remember women would come to church and people would come and cry out to God, God, deliver our nation. Oh, thank God for our armed services. But there was more than the Army and the Marines and the Navy. Oh, there was the Commander-in-Chief, the Lord of Hosts, the Lord Himself who fought for us. And God brought a little ragtag in its beginning army through. You look back at those war films. I saw some of those when I was up in Colorado last year, and I shook my head and I said, God, forgive me. We take it for granted. Our young people don't even know what World War II is. They don't know what Korean War was. They don't know what, many here today didn't even know what a Vietnam War was, whatever that was. And then we had Desert Storm, but that's overseas. And that's a president's war, they said, because it's about oil and gas. And so we got in a big political conflict about that, even though we agreed enough to get the job done as much as we did. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not across the seas today. It's not across the waters. It's not across the borderlines of this great nation. It's in downtown New York, the trade center. You couldn't give America a stronger message or a stronger wake-up call. And who would have ever thought that twin buildings could collapse? Why? Because America's all bad? No, but because of sin. One of the Ten Commandments would have kept this tragedy from happening. Exodus 20:13, thou shalt not kill. Your religion tells you you can go out and just kill people for whatever reason, you got the wrong religion. And I'm not mad. I feel that in part under Almighty God, we had one of another nationality, a doctor that was as kind to us, and we consider him a very dear friend to this day. So this is not a thing of nationality, but Americans need to wake up. It takes more than being a Texan to go to heaven. It takes more than being a Bubba to go to heaven. You got to give your heart to Jesus Christ. It takes more than, and I appreciate, hey, New Yorkers, man, they're a tough breed of cat, I'm telling you. But they say, we're New Yorkers. That's why we come together. We're strong. No, you're nothing outside of God. Neither are we. It's not us, it's Him. It's not our strength, it's not our intellect, it's not our financial capabilities. It's God. You can take your Bible and come through any tragedy and come out on the high side of victory. And we're going to believe and embrace God's word above everything else. Look at verses 14 and 15. From the place of his habitation, he looked upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considered all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse. See, a horse was the tank, the missile, the aircraft carrier. I mean, it was the war vehicle of that day and time. So it said, a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any of his by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him and upon them that hope in his mercy. Thank God for the word of God. God wants us to believe this word above everything else. God's word is right. Not about some things. God's word is right about everything. Can you say amen? We've seen the violence in the last few days. But I want you to know that it has not destroyed the word of God. And there's something else. You see, one word from God can change everything. One word. I mean, it just looks like everything is hopeless and everything's just all tied up. And it just looks like there's no way out. But one word from God can change everything. One word from God can change everything. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood. Just embrace your Bible. Just pick your Bible up. Just hold that word. Say, thank God, this is God's word to me. I believe this book above every other source of information. This book is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my pathway. So in this 33rd Psalm, God's telling us to rejoice and be thankful. The joy of the Lord is still our strength, spiritually, mentally, and physically, to praise God stronger than ever before. We're not going to praise less, we're going to praise more. We're going to believe God's word above everything else because it is final truth. But you know, there's something that I think is very interesting. Our nation, with all of its sin, with all of our weaknesses, you know, the Bible said there's good in the land. You say, what's the good in the land? Well, it's like I said, in our neighborhood, I mean, there's been a liquor sign up there for a long time, and it was a suggestive liquor. I mean, it wasn't just liquor. It was, but I drive past, and it said, in God we trust, united we stand. That's one plus. That happened since Tuesday. I'll tell you, there's some other things that have happened. You know, I haven't heard a word all week long about separation of church and state. I haven't heard one word all week long about separation of church and state. I haven't heard one word all week long about we shouldn't be praying. In fact, they were saying on CNN, had some full gospel folks that are saying some strong things on CNN and Fox. Saying if your heart's heavy, go to your local church or go to your local synagogue. What? Nothing being said about separation of church and state, which was such a big deal. Nothing said about prayer, which is such a terrible thing, prayer unto God especially. And Franklin Graham more than once gave the complete plan of salvation over national television. I'll tell you, folks, it's bad, but it's not all bad. God will be glorified, and God will take tragedy and bring triumph out of tragedy. Even Hollywood has pulled back on some movies that they say were not sensitive and not suited for this time of tragedy and loss. But you're not supposed to pull back for the sake of the arts. Anything goes under the name of the arts. I'm so sick of this garbage called the arts. There's only one art that's worthy of pursuing, and that's the wonderful, wonderful word of Almighty God. The positives that have come out of this 9/11 New York tragedy, it seems like everybody's talking about God in one way or another. Someone went to a funeral the other day and came back and said, you know, I haven't heard in a long time about the evils of Satan. And a minister or a priest was talking about the evils, that God is a good God. And it's evil that has brought heartbreak and heartache to people's lives. When have you heard that on television, especially on news? I haven't heard any anti-prayer statements since all this happened. Haven't heard one word on or off TV about the separation of church and state. Evangelist Franklin Graham has been given freedom to talk on television, not talk show, but news, and give the plan of salvation. Billy Graham has been invited back to Washington with honor for 8 years. Billy Graham was not welcome in Washington, but he's welcome today. And he's been invited back to Washington. Whatever you think about Billy Graham, you better pray for him because he's a man of God. Been invited back to Washington more than once, not just on this occasion, but more than once to minister to our nation. I think of the camaraderie of police and firemen and Democrats and Republicans and all that have volunteered to help. What an example of people helping people. What an example of people coming together in the midst of tragedy. They were talking to a man on television yesterday. Where he lived had, well, it's just all kind of complication. But they said, well, are you going to leave? No, no. He said, we're New Yorkers. We'll be here. We're going to stay here. Well, it's brought a lot of people together. In fact, I want to compliment Former President Bill Clinton, he told the Australian people just a few days ago, you have the right man in office to deal with what you're having to deal with at this time. We have united in brotherly love. Now we must seize this window of opportunity and see spiritual revival in our land. Billy Graham said, we need a spiritual revival. And then he said, we need revival in America. I like that word revival, new life, newness of life, the life of God returning to our nation. Our nation with all of its sin is blessed, not because of our cities and our buildings and our education, our armies, but blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And you know, I checked just before coming the other, we still have In God We Trust. Still there. Still there, isn't it? That's interesting, isn't it? In God we trust. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You say, well, we really don't mean it. We just print it. Well, thank God they're still doing something. They're printing it. Our president called for a national day of prayer and invited Billy Graham back to Washington in honor. And then as I went further into this, it said in verse 20, there's something else God wants to tell us in the midst of this tragedy. It's time for prayer, prayer, much prayer, more prayer. Our soul waiteth on the Lord. God's been dealing with me for a while, and our schedules and the way everything's kind of been, and we'll be kind of getting things back to normal, but some of you don't realize the challenge, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I think the last few months I've had some of the greatest challenges of my life and ministry. Thank you for loving me and praying for me and standing with me. My plate's been loaded. My plate's been loaded. And I want to thank you for loving us and standing with us. And I thank the staff for doing such a wonderful job. God bless you. Thank you. But we're going to pray. We're not going to stop prayer. Calvary Cathedral is going to continue to step up to the plate of prayer. And we're not going to pray less. We're going to pray more by the grace of God. And so, as we said in the other church, everybody wanted to get me off in a side room or a back room or off somewhere. I said, we're going to pray where we're expecting to see the greater glory of the Lord. We're going to pray. And that's what we did at 1600 West 5th Street. We prayed out in front of God and everybody. And so morning prayer has come back to our auditorium. Because he said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. It's time for a new complete trust in God. Boy, you feel pretty unnecessary when you're a little over a thousand miles away from home. And you can't get home. And you see what's happening. And while you're trying to catch the news, I've seen that airplane fly into that building probably 100 times. It makes you sick every time you see that. And I'm sitting in a hotel room. Thank God we had believers there with us in the city. You know, life isn't always us sitting in this auditorium praising and worshiping God and enjoying the greatness of God. Sometimes serving God can be lonely. Ask Daniel. Ask Joseph. Ask Paul. There's days on the job you wonder if anybody cares. There's days on the job you wonder if your prayers will ever come to pass. But it's time for a new complete level of trust in God. Not in the United States or not in the strength of New York, but a new complete trust in God. You know, there's something about this. In that hotel room, you're saying, Lord, I trust you. My trust is in you, Lord. I trust you with my family at home. I trust you with the church that I pastor. God, I trust in the Lord with all my heart. Folks, it's time to trust God. Also, it's time to cry for mercy for our nation. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us. Folks, yeah, there's a lot of good about our land, so much good. But you better cry for mercy. The thing we're on the eve of right now, God's got to help us in this thing. This is a strange new thing that this nation is moving toward. Yeah, we all say rah, rah now, but wait till it hits you where you don't like it. Oh, we all get patriotic. I saw a flag yesterday bigger than the pickup truck that it was. I mean, there was a flag in the back of a pickup truck that was looked to me as big. It looked like one of the big automobile dealership American flags. And I said, God bless America. But friend, it takes more than a flag in the back of your pickup. It takes a trust in God and a crying out to God for mercy. For mercy. You realize how vulnerable we are as a people, as a nation, when one madman can cost a nation. And when I say that, we must pray for justice, but we cannot let hate or animosity come into our hearts. Be careful. Everyone's not like that. Every nationality is not like that. Like whatever. We need to say, God, help me to love people. You know what would change all this terrorism? Holy Ghost revival. Jesus being exalted. That's what would change it. We don't have enough bombs to change it. You don't change men's hearts by a bomb or by a missile. God can change the heart. How many of you, the chains of alcohol, how many times you said, this is the last bottle I'll ever drink, and you turn around to hide another fifth the next day. I'll never smoke another one of these things. But you did it again and again and again. But one day you said the biggest yes to God that you'd ever said in your life. And in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that habit was gone. Alcohol was gone and drugs were gone and the desire for nicotine was gone. Or whatever your thing you were into. Let us cry for mercy for our nation. And finally, I'm so glad I can tell you today there is hope in God. There is hope in God. I mean, I've had to practice what I've been preaching to you. Especially when you're away from home. And you just see this thing coming down. You think, God, what else is going to happen? This is not a small thing. It's not a small thing. What has happened is not an insignificant event. It's all out war. And every member of those nationalities is not that way. There's some sorry Americans and some sorry everythings. There's sorry everybodies in every nationality. Boy, we can't get caught up in hating people and hating nations and hating races. Folks, the only answer for any of our nations, the only answer for our nation is revival. And I'll tell you, I've come back to this city committed in a new way. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know all the wherefores. But one of the reasons that this decision was made not to enter into a 2 or 3 year building situation so we could have an auditorium where if God said do it tomorrow night, we can start tomorrow night. And we can see God shake this city. I know some of you think, well, now don't get preacher stirred up again. He'll be having too many church services. If we lived here every night, it wouldn't be too much. If we came twice a day, early in the morning and came at night, we're so blasted comfortable, we don't want anybody to get us out of our comfort zone. Do you understand? I'd miss evening news. God send revival. God stir me. God stir us. But folks, there is hope. There is hope. There is hope. You're here. I'm here. God's here. I haven't lost my faith in God. You haven't lost your faith in God. We can still pray. We are God's people. And we will humble ourselves and we will pray and we will seek the face of God. And we're going to see this nation shaken by the power of the Holy Spirit as never before. Sit with me. There is hope. And our hope is God. Say it with me again. There is hope. And our hope is God. I've had many phone calls from overseas, different places this week, calling, saying, "Pastor, are you okay? Are your people okay?" I said, "We're okay. We'll make it. We'll come through." Nations are praying for us, praying for America all over the globe. Australia's praying for us. Uganda, and I know a lot of other people are. The Caribbean's praying for us, and Romania's praying for us, and Mexico's praying for us, and on the story goes. Now what are we going to do? Is this just another big deal? Is this just another big blow? You know, someone said, you know, this seems like another movie. Seems like another television program. We just see people get blown up all the time. Are we so desensitized that this thing, we refuse to let this thing shake us to our foundation? Are we going to step up to the plate and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to be what God called me to be, and I'm going to do what God called me to do, and I'm going to pray what God called me to pray, and I'm going to give what God called me to give, and I'm going to be what God's called me to be? Are we just going to 24/7, here we go again, man. We'll shake it off. We come out of the cinema. It's just another movie. No, it's not another movie. War's been declared on this nation. All hell has broken loose this week, and we have the key to turn this thing around. We have the key to turn this thing around. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's not all doom and gloom. There is hope. And I'll tell you, Satan's done his best to divide all of us, but we're not buying into it. We're not going to hate race. We're not going to hate people. We're not going to just run out and say crazy things. We're going to stand up and say America needs to repent, and America's going to see a mighty move of God.